It's a sunny day in Salamanca, New York. Young Seneca students lurch and lunge in a game of keep away. Although they look like any group of kids at recess, they share a big responsibility.
My Indian name is Guyana Sate, and my English name is Brooke Krause Kennedy. I'm here because I'm trying to be one of the ones to preserve our culture and just learn.
Brooke and 12 other students are here at the Faith Keeper School to learn the Seneca language and the teachings of the Longhouse religion. The health of these cultural benchmarks declined after the Kenzu Reservoir flooded one-third of the Allegheny Reservation and scattered tribal families. The Cedar Wood School now rests on the upper reaches of the reservation, a narrow strip of land that follows the Allegheny River from Pennsylvania to New York.
What kind of thing do you need that's growing on earth? What do you need?
Food.
What kind of food?
This morning, longtime teacher Sandy Dowdy works with very young students. In 1998, she and her husband Dar rallied the community and started the school. They're two of only 200 Senecas who can still speak their language.
Now, do you see why your identity is so important?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need everything that we need is on Yuanzade.
Thanking Yuanzade, the earth, and its creator for the bounty of nature is the building block for learning the Seneca language and ceremonies. Today, this handful of students learns a shorter version of the Thanksgiving speech. The speech stresses the interconnection between the natural world and the well-being of individual people.
We covered just the ceremonial part and the giving thanks part, and then in the afternoon we study things. We look into erosion and pollution and all of those things that we can do to protect those things that we just gave thanks for.
These lessons have a real life application in the school's small gardens. The early Senecas depended on gardens to survive. Fruits and vegetables were so important to the tribe's existence that they appear in many of their stories and ceremonies. Senecas continued to farm until their fertile bottomland was flooded by the Kenzu Reservoir. Following the traditional cycles of their ancestors, Landon Sequoia and the other kids now help with planting and harvesting.
The corn's right there. A long time ago, they used to have big things of corn and beans and squash. That's the three sisters. Ganidayo and the three sisters. He was going to go back up to the sky world, and they grabbed onto his legs and they told him not to go, or that they could go with him. But he was like, no, you have to stay down here to feed our people.
If you hadn't been in school, would you have ever had a garden?
I don't think so, because I was going to a public school and I know hardly anything about our culture.
Many Senecas on the Allegheny Reservation believe their culture was nearly lost when the Kenzu Dam was built. The Senecas and others strongly protested this project, but their arguments were turned down in the courts and the U.S. Congress. Tyler Heron is an elder and Seneca historian. He says that the Canandaigua Treaty of 1794 guaranteed that Seneca land would remain untouched by the United States government.
But the politics changed over 200 years. We weren't the threat. We weren't the political power anymore. And the threat, I guess, was the river itself to Pittsburgh. The flooding, and it was a threat to the economy.
Major floods along the lower Allegheny prompted the federal government to act. To make way for the dam, 600 Senecas were moved from their homes along the riverbanks. In 1964, contractors burned and bulldozed Seneca houses, trees, and public buildings. Churches and cemeteries were moved. Heron, who was 17 at the time, says life as he knew it has changed.
Even the ecology of the river itself has changed. My wife, for instance, used to make her extra money as a teenager by catching soft-shell crabs and selling them to the bait companies. But I don't think there's a soft-shell crab in the river anymore.
Aquatic plants were lost as well. The reservoir also inundated hardwoods used for carving ceremonial masks and many medicinal plants. Heron, whose grandchildren attend the Faith Keeper School, says these children are learning to identify the remaining plants. They're learning to speak the language and lead the ceremonies and carry on for a community that lost its ancestral home along the Allegheny.
Our existence is dependent on us, only, and we have to keep our identifiers. How do we kind of keep our identity? Well, language. It starts right here.
For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Ann Murray.